this one. I just stopped by to let y'all know. You nail into the wood. You nail into the wood. Yeah. Ooh, they hung him up to dry. Hey. They hung him up to dry, y'all.
You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. If you enjoyed that edition of Democracy Now!, you might want to hear it again at democracynow.org. But for now, it's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
hit the microphone until it starts working. My God, is this place just set up to piss me off today? It feels that way. All the lights turned off, completely abandoned. Democracy Now! Not playing. It's like we forgot we had a radio station here. Folks, we need your help. We're not asking for money. We're asking for people. We need more people here. Seriously, if you're in the community, you want to be part of a radio station, here's one right here you can be a part of. Please, please contact us and help out. Keep this place going because I know it's that period of year where nobody wants to be here, but that's also part of radio, is being here when nobody wants to be here. In fact, I've done some of my best shows when nobody else wanted to be around. That might say something about me, or that might say something about just taking an opportunity when you can. I don't know, but it's sad to see such a lack of activity. Of course, the building is closed, too. That doesn't make it any easier. But we have a voice here, and I am really bummed out that Democracy Now! Wasn't on. I always listen to it on the way over here. I mean, the music was good, too, but you know, come on, let's get it together here. All right, enough finger pointing at our own place here. Let's finger point at the nation instead, because we've got an incredible fight coming up. It's going to be happening this month, and no, I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. That's next month anyway, so I couldn't be talking about that. I'm talking about, and I know people's eyes are going to roll back into their eye sockets and when I mention this, but that's part of the problem. The part of the problem is that we don't want to confront issues head on, and we just say, oh, I can't talk about that anymore. I don't want to think about that anymore. And by doing this, you let people that you disagree with, or people who don't have your best interest at heart, you let them control the entire dialogue and where it goes. How it all turns out. That's what happens when you don't speak up. So it's extremely important, especially this month, that when this comes to a head, we're there to speak up. And I include the people that disagree with me, but I just don't think there are as many of them as the people who agree with the things that I'm going to say and the things I have said. And the things that so many other people have been saying over the past, well, less than a month now. That's how long it's been since the tragedy in Newtown. That has pretty much changed the way, at least for a time, the way we address this issue. And, of course, I'm talking about the gun epidemic that is in this country, a subject that we need to address head on, and we need to solve, and we need to move on. So this month is the month that Joe Biden is going to be coming out with results of whatever it is he's doing. The president has put him in charge of recommending steps. And I only hope that those steps that are recommended are strong steps, meaningful steps, not something that involves more studies or anything that just basically doesn't do something aggressive about this. Because this is a major problem in our country. It is polluting minds as well as killing people. And hopefully in the time that we have today, we can go over some of that as to why exactly I feel this way. And I think so many other people feel this way as well. We've had a number of developments, and I'd like to go over some of these. So many things to look at here. I don't know where to begin. Where should we begin? How about this guy? You might have heard about this. This has been making the rounds everywhere, of this Marine who is standing up to Senator Dianne Feinstein and saying, no, ma'am, I will not register my guns. And, you know, okay, you're a Marine. You sacrificed a lot. You went over to nasty places, had people fire at you, and I'm sure you fired at people as well. Doesn't give you any kind of assumption of intelligence or any reason why your word means more than anyone else's word. You feel you don't have to register your guns. Because why exactly? You feel it's nobody's business how many guns you have. I think, in fact, that's actually what was said. You know what? Your fellow citizens feel differently. It's not even your government. It's your fellow citizens, the people that you live in this country with. Now, if you want to live in a place where people are firing guns all over the place, maybe where you came from is a better place to be. Yeah, it's hard saying something like that, but this is not supposed to be a war zone. And having assault weapons everywhere turns it into a war zone. And I think most people are sick and tired of that. Now, it's not being punished, as this Marine, Joshua Boston, said. He said he felt that gun owners were being unfairly targeted. Some gun owners were being unfairly targeted. It's not some gun owners. It's people who own particular types of weapons. And, of course, it hasn't even happened yet. We're anticipating this will happen. But people have particular weapons that are very, very deadly and can kill lots and lots of people. Well, first of all, those weapons should be banned. They should be illegal to have. And I cannot, for the life of me, understand anyone who tries and defends that. Now, there are exceptions to the whole registration thing. I'm not exactly sure what they are. Hunting rifles, shotguns, I don't know. I don't really care about that. We're not talking about whatever you call the things. You know, I always get jumped on for not getting the terminology right. I don't need to get the terminology right because I know what guns are. I know what they can do. All right. And if I call something a semi-automatic when it's actually an automatic, that's not the point. The point is that something that can take out lots and lots of people is not something that we want around. And when I say we, I do believe I'm speaking for the majority of the people in this country. When it's not the majority, when I'm an insane, loudmouth minority that nobody else listens to, well, then I guess I'll just have to accept that. But right now, I think the shoe's on the other foot. I think the insane, loudmouth minority are the people in the NRA. And not even all the people in the NRA, mostly the NRA leadership, and unfortunately a lot of people in the NRA just aren't speaking out against that enough because, wow, it really makes them look very bad. And I thought after that speech was given, you know, only a couple of weeks after Newtown, that basically completely dismissed any idea of controlling this this plague of weapons that has infested our country. Rather than deal with that, they simply say, yes, let's get more armed police in every single school, and that will somehow solve the problem. You know, there was an armed cop in Columbine. What do you have to say about that? Having a cop down the hallway doesn't help the people in the classroom when some lunatic takes it over. What does help is if that lunatic has a really difficult time getting a hold of the weapon in the first place. No, you won't stop every single instance. Of course not. You can't. That's impossible. And it's a straw man argument that is thrown out there. Well, can you stop every single attack? You can't. Well, then your argument is invalid because you're not solving the problem. Yeah, the problem is being addressed in a much better way by getting rid of as many guns as possible than by adding more to the mix. And that's really basic logic. And the fact that we have paid so much attention to the illogical arguments over the years, well, we see the damage that has happened in the last few decades. I've had this conversation with a number of people who have grown up the same period that I've grown up, which is mostly in the 70s. Why didn't this kind of thing happen back then in the 1970s? When I went to junior high school right around here, this neighborhood, how come there was no fear, let alone instance, of mass shootings? In fact, it didn't happen anywhere in the country. Why is that? What's different about us? Well, you know, I think we're still the same red-blooded, violent Americans we always have been. I don't think that's really changed so much. What has changed, though, is the ease with which we can get a hold of things that can lead to deadly results. That's what's changed. I couldn't walk out and somehow find an assault weapon back in 1973 or even in 1979. I think it all started to change with Reagan. But having that be difficult, I think, is what made all the difference. People were violent back then. There were violent people all throughout our history. So I don't think that's it. Yeah, there's violence in video games. There's violence in movies. That's always been the case. And I do find it disturbing. I do find it disturbing because, watching old television programs and hearing commentaries from the people who made those old television programs, it's really an eye-opener. Because you see an episode of something where somebody who saw it as a kid says that he remembers it being so much more graphic, seeing that dead body on the ground that had been killed by some monster. But looking at it now, 30, 40 years later, it wasn't anything at all. It had all been conjured up in their imagination. And that is the best way to portray things like that, so that it happens inside your head. Not that every single bit of gore has to be presented to you so that there's absolutely nothing left of the imagination. Where does that get us? It becomes a competition. Who can be bloodier? Who can be more violent? And that's certainly not healthy for many reasons. But again, that is expression. And people are going to express themselves no matter what. And if we're expressing ourselves in an unhealthy way, we need to look at that. We can't say you're not allowed to express yourself in this way. I think that is more unhealthy than anything that could be expressed. But we need to look at why we're so fascinated with violence and gore and things like that. That does play a part in it, but it's not the major part. The major part is the accessibility. Okay, so this Marine refuses to register his guns, and because he's a Marine, that means something. Yeah, a lot of people don't want to register their guns if and when such a day comes where we actually start keeping track of these things. And I think, the less we pay attention to nonsense like that, the better off we are. Because we can move forward and, like I said, get past all of this. You've been hearing a lot of things in the news, probably, and you will be in the weeks ahead for sure. And if you read any of the comment boards on almost any news site, even the New York Times now, the New York Times has had very measured discussions from intelligent people. And I don't say that just because they agree with me. A lot of them don't agree with me, but it's not the same kind of craziness that you read on CNN.com in the comment section. But lately, I've seen a lot more of an influx. So that tells me that that letters are being sent out saying, make sure that you post things on this particular board so that people think that there are more of us than there actually are. And that really is the whole game, is to make it seem like there are more people out there saying these things so that it actually gets taken seriously. Now, a lot of things that we've been hearing about are just flat out wrong. And I'd like to look at an article here that appeared in the Christian Science Monitor about the NRA's view of quote-unquote gun rights, how they're a fabrication. This article is written by Jonathan Zimmerman. Remember that elementary school exercise, opinion or true-false? The point was to differentiate claims that were debatable from those that weren't. In the wake of the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre in Newtown, Connecticut, let's try a little example. How would you classify these statements? Americans should have unlimited freedom to purchase and own firearms. And statement number two, for most of our history, Americans had unlimited freedom to purchase and own firearms. Well, statement number one is a matter of opinion, on which Americans differ sharply. Although 44 states have passed a law since 1980 giving citizens the right to carry concealed weapons outside of their homes, 44 states, we're not one of them, thank God. A 2004 Gallup poll showed that 44% of Americans believe that only law enforcement officials should have such a right. Yeah, same number, 44% believe that. And yet 44 states passed that. Well, you may say 44% is not the majority. Well, another 26% said that only those who have a clear need for a weapon, such as people who transport large amounts of cash, should be able to carry one. Only 27% said any private citizen should be allowed to do so. 2004, not that long ago. Now, statement number two, and for those of you who have forgotten it already, it's for most of our history, Americans had unlimited freedom to purchase and own firearms. That's statement number two. That is clearly a fact question. As we used to say, not an opinion one. Either Americans possessed broad gun rights for most of our history, or they didn't. True or false? It's false. The truth is exactly the opposite. Until the very recent past, individual gun rights were severely restricted. Believe it or not, the entire concept of gun rights, that is, of citizens' unbridled freedom to buy and own firearms, is largely a creation of our own times. Yes, the Second Amendment to the Constitution guarantees the right to bear arms. But if that means individual citizens, as opposed to state militias, can carry firearms anywhere they want, someone forgot to tell our 19th century forebears. As law professor Adam Winkler has found, 10 states passed laws in the 1800s barring the possession of concealed weapons. And one of them was Texas. Yeah. The governor in 1893, governor of Texas, said the mission of the concealed weapon is murder. To check it is the duty of every self-respecting, law-abiding man. Governor of Texas, 1893. Something to keep in mind when you hear these arguments. It ain't necessarily so. Now, founded in 1871 as a hunting organization, the National Rifle Association supported waiting periods for handgun buyers and a wide array of other state restrictions. Imagine that. Imagine that. It also backed the first major federal gun regulation, the 1934 National Firearms Act, which was upheld by the Supreme Court in a unanimous decision 5 years later, 1939. You know, I've never wanted to live in the 1930s before, but sounding awfully nice right about now. As U.S. Solicitor General Robert Jackson told the court, the Second Amendment did not protect the right of individuals to possess guns for private purposes. Instead, it was restricted to the keeping and bearing of arms by the people collectively for their common defense and security. U.S. Solicitor General Robert Jackson, and he would join the Supreme Court himself in 1941. Only in the 1970s would the NRA and conservatives start to argue, that the Second Amendment guaranteed individual gun possession. This is a fact. Do all the research you want. This is a fact. The 1970s, that's when it began. Piggybacking cleverly on the minority and women's rights revolutions, the NRA claimed that gun owners, too, were endowed with rights that were protected by the Constitution. They also created a giant lobbying and publicity apparatus to spread this new doctrine. Reflecting on the NRA's politicking, Chief Justice Warren Burger, you may have heard of him, globally respected, Chief Justice Warren Burger said that the Second Amendment, quote, has been the subject of one of the greatest pieces of fraud, I repeat the word fraud, on the American public by special interest groups that I have ever seen in my lifetime, unquote. Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. But he had retired by the time he made that statement, and the NRA was on the rise. And today, millions of Americans take it for granted that the Constitution protects individual gun rights. So do their legislatures and courts, which have discovered a meaning in the Second Amendment that earlier generations never imagined. That doesn't mean they're wrong necessarily, or that prior interpretations were right. Our past is filled with legal doctrines that have shifted with the times in ways that we justly celebrate. For nearly two centuries, most notoriously, courts upheld the enslavement, segregation, and disenfranchisement of African Americans. So, yes, because it was in the past doesn't mean it was right. I get that. But let's at least realize that that is how it was in the past. If we can get there, we can at least be on some common ground and not have this fantasy that the Founding Fathers were talking about Uzis and Glocks and things like that. And, you know, it was a different world back then. Very different. Continuing with this article, no honest person could possibly maintain that blacks possessed equal rights throughout these years. And that's exactly the kind of thing we hear routinely about gun rights from the NRA and others who want you to believe that these quote-unquote freedoms were deeply inscribed in American life before the big bad liberal state took them away. Americans can debate whether they should be able to own guns and under what conditions. They can even argue that the country would be better off with more guns rather than fewer. But one cannot say that our foreparents intended to give everyone the right to own a gun and carry it wherever they wished. That's a fraud, to borrow Justice Berger's phrase. And saying it over and over again will not make it true. So there you go. These are facts. Easily verifiable. Any history book or primary documentation of laws and rulings that have come down throughout the centuries. Now, this is interesting, too. I found this story to be fascinating. You've probably heard about the newspaper here in New York, in upstate New York a bit, that printed the names and addresses of handgun permit holders, a total of over 33,000 in the counties of Westchester and Rockland, and linked to maps of their locations online. The maps appeared with the article, "The Gun Owner Next Door, What You Don't Know About the Weapons in Your Neighborhood." Now, it's interesting because all of that information was obtained through publicly available data. In other words, you could simply go down to whatever office keeps that information. I don't know if you even had to file a Freedom of Information Act request. But the fact is, it was available. And it was made available for a reason. People have the right to this information. Now, there's lots of information out there people have the right to see. They can see if you are a registered Republican, a registered Democrat, a registered communist. It's all public record. And so there has been a backlash, obviously, from people who found themselves listed. But the interesting thing is that if you listen to the logic, what's being said, they're claiming that by publishing this list, they're putting people at risk because now they know where the people with the guns are. But I'm not hearing complaints from the people without the guns. I'm only hearing complaints from the people with the guns. I thought guns were supposed to make you safer. Now people know you have guns, so they're not going to bother you. Isn't that the whole point? Well, apparently not, because they're claiming that this will make people who don't have guns unsafe, and that, again, the solution is to get more guns, which is pretty absurd. I have not heard that complaint from people, at least not publicly,
who don't have guns, who feel that now they're unsafe because now people know they don't have guns. But what I thought really was incredible. I believe it was Putnam County, and I could be wrong on this, that refused to give the information out when the newspaper asked for that public information to be made available to them. And the reason given, was that when this law was passed, the internet was not conceived of. People had no way to know the internet would happen. In other words, yeah, this is the law. We're required to give this information out, but we're refusing to give this information out because when the law was written, it was a different time. And the same rules just can't apply. Now, isn't that exactly what people who oppose the argument that, oh, it was written in the Second Amendment that everybody could carry whatever they want. These people say, you know, it was a different time. People could not anticipate 21st century back then. Therefore, we should make some changes. That particular argument is constantly dismissed because, well, you can't change things from the past. You can't update things because, well, they knew best. But apparently, as soon as something comes along that works in the other direction, yeah, let's change that right away. Let's change that law. In fact, let's not even obey that law. So interesting. And it's also interesting to me, the reaction that has happened from people around the country phoning in death threats and finding out personal information, information that is not publicly available, by the way, about people's children who work for the newspaper, where they go to school, calling in all kinds of threats left on voicemail, and then saying the newspaper is being hypocritical by hiring an armed guard to protect them. I don't see the hypocrisy in that at all. If you're being threatened, then obviously you need some kind of protection. And I didn't see anything in this particular list of names that condemned the existence of guns for protection. But I think people would like to know, what is in your neighborhood? I mean, we print the names of sex offenders. We print their addresses. I think it's a lot more interesting to know where the weapons are. Because anybody can get to those if they're not kept in a safe place. And many times they are not. As Sandy Hook showed us. Yeah, law-abiding people. But the thing is, law-abiding people turn into people who stop obeying the law, who turn into maniacs. And that's been the case in, I think, virtually every shooting, every mass shooting that has taken place in the last few years. Never a problem before. Or, yeah, it's kind of kooky, but there was nothing we could do about it. And if you tried to say anything about restricting that person's rights to have as many guns as they want, the NRA would be all over you. But I do find it humorous that these same people that are fearing some marching army coming over the hill and confiscating all of their weapons and then leading them into a society that's some kind of a nightmare, those very same people have no problem at all coming up with a society where people are labeled by their mental abilities. So we must put all the mentally sick people in a particular place and label them in a particular way so that they can't get access to particular things. I've heard this said in many different ways over the past few weeks that that's the solution. Of course, I don't know how that's going to happen in a country where healthcare doesn't really exist. A lot of these are the same people who are arguing against any kind of national health plan. But now, yeah, we're supposed to label and categorize and keep track of people based on their mental abilities and potential threat levels. Yeah, that to me is kind of scary. And I can think of a number of people, you know, growing up, as I mentioned, that certainly could have snapped. Maybe I could have been one of them. And if in your parents' room there is a cache of weapons that you can get your hands on, oh yeah, maybe it's behind a locked cabinet. Well, how are you going to get around that? I know, you get the key. That's it. You find the key, you open the cabinet, you take out the weapons. You know, you don't have to even finish high school to figure that out. There are all kinds of ways to get to things that are locked up, supposedly. Not hard to do. And, you know, if it is hard to do these days, you can just order it online. And things magically show up. So, there's a new Congress coming in. In fact, the new Congress has already been installed, and I think it's operating now. And with this new Congress, we can expect new gun laws. Some good, some not so good. On day one, lawmakers in the House of Representatives introduced nearly a dozen bills related to gun violence. Representative Carolyn McCarthy, you remember her, right here in New York, Long Island, whose husband was killed and son was seriously wounded, I believe paralyzed by an attack on the Long Island Railroad by one Colin Ferguson years ago, when this kind of thing was a lot more shocking because it wasn't so common. And she became a congresswoman because she was so incensed by what happened to her family. And it's one of these American dream stories where someone goes to Washington to change things, to make things better. And to see the kind of crap she has to deal with on a daily basis because of her stands. I mean, Brady, who was shot, while Reagan was the target and permanently injured, the things he has to deal with. There's just no end to the callousness that people show. But anyway, Representative Carolyn McCarthy is leading the fight on the Democratic side of the aisle. She's sponsoring legislation that would require background checks for all gun sales, including at gun shows, and ban online sales of ammunition. Seems so reasonable. And, you know, in most of the world, it is reasonable. That's the thing that always inspires me, is that there are other places where people are shaking their heads in consternation as to just what is going through the minds over here. But yeah, other places, and these places do not look like hell to me. They look very productive. And yeah, they've got their problems, but nothing to match the problems that we have insofar as gun violence. And that alone should tell you, you know, a nation that that has so much of this weaponry. I mean, we sure do already. We are number one as far as guns per person. If any iota of the logic that is thrown at us were true regarding guns making things safer, you wouldn't have so many people being killed every year. And it, you know, you take into account the population differences, and it's staggering. It is staggering how much of a percentage we are ahead of the rest of the world as far as gun deaths. So clearly, that's not accomplishing that particular goal. Do you think maybe doubling the amount of weapons, maybe that will get us to the magic number of reducing violence? What do you think? Just give it some thought for about a second, and probably your gut instinct is the right way to go. Anyway, continuing with Carolyn McCarthy was pushing, these assault magazines help put the mass in mass shooting, and anything we can do to stop their proliferation will save lives in America. These devices are used to kill as many people as possible in the shortest amount of time possible, and we owe it to innocent Americans everywhere to keep them out of the hands of dangerous people. How do you disagree with that? How do you disagree with a statement like that? I mean, you know, you could basically find someone to disagree with a statement like the ocean is wet, all right? But Fox News does not put them on TV to debate you because they're idiots. They're out of their minds. They have no basis in reality. With this, though, there's an agenda at play, and it's in the interest of much of the mass media, and certainly much of the right wing in this country, to make this a legitimate issue to debate. So something, a statement like that, which is so incredibly logical, can actually be debated with a straight face on major networks. And then people see this, and they believe that, yeah, they got a point, you know? Maybe the ocean isn't wet after all. And you keep saying it enough times, and you have more and more people saying it, it turns into a bit of reality. If you look at all the crazy mass movements that have happened over the decades and centuries and millennia, I think you'll recognize the pattern that you keep repeating something over and over again and people start to believe it. But they never know when it's happening to them. Anyway, so that's what Carolyn McCarthy is doing. Meanwhile, two Republican freshmen, Representative Steve Stockman of Texas and Representative Thomas Massey of Kentucky, have introduced bills that would, guess what, allow more guns around schools. It's like a comedy show. It really is. Yeah, more guns around schools. In the Senate, California Democrat Dianne Feinstein plans to introduce a bill to ban the sale, transfer, importation, and manufacturing of more than 100 firearms. The bill would also ban certain semi-automatic rifles, handguns, and shotguns that can accept a detachable magazine, semi-automatic rifles and handguns with a fixed magazine that can accept more than 10 rounds. The assault weapons ban that she helped pass in 1994 expired in 2004. And, you know, that's just not good enough. You can't have something like this that expires. You can't have something that only includes certain semi-automatic rifles and certain assault weapons. No, you got to get rid of them all. You've got to get rid of them all. Now, this is not me saying ban all guns, because I know there are different lives, different parts of the country where things don't work the way I'm used to. Places where you need a gun in the wilderness, or you need a handgun for some other reasons, but you do not need assault weapons. And there is no reason in the world that we should blink an eye about that. Bill sponsored by Senator Frank Lautenberg of New Jersey to ban high-capacity magazines. Senator Chuck Schumer here in New York to enhance background checks and close the gun show loophole. Already have counterparts in the lower chamber. But gun control is a heated topic. Any push to restrict access to guns will be met with strong opposition from the 4 million member NRA, nation's most powerful gun rights lobby. I say bring it on. Let's have it out. 4 million? You know what? 4 million's not that many. There's what, 300 million in this country? That's 296 million people who aren't members. How about that? I'll bet there are all kinds of organizations that have millions of members. It doesn't make them right, and we can't keep letting them dominate the conversation. I think they're showing their true colors now. I think people are finally seeing their true colors. And we can move on. We can continue to value the things that we enjoy. And if you're somebody out there who enjoys shooting for whatever reason, target practice or hunting or whatever, this doesn't have to affect you at all. The only thing that changes is you can't have an arsenal in your home. boo-hoo. I mean, that's really not the American dream. Never was. Shouldn't be. And if that's this important to you, I got to wonder what kind of Rambo life you're leading. It might make for a good movie, but it's not very good or healthy for you in reality. The NRA has long blocked efforts to introduce tougher gun laws, arguing Congress cannot infringe on the Second Amendment right to bear arms. Well, we've been down that road. We see what that actually means. In a press conference a week after the Newtown shootings, the NRA's executive vice president, Wayne LaPierre, asked, since when did the word gun automatically become a bad word? And this is the kind of thing that we have to deal with. The NRA has also questioned the effectiveness of gun bans, suggesting they could put communities in danger. Again, using that reverse logic. Politicians pass laws for gun-free school zones, he said. They issue press releases bragging about them. They post signs advertising them. And in so doing, they tell every insane killer in America that schools are their safest place to inflict maximum mayhem with minimum risk. It's insane. Because if you put guns in schools, well, you're going to put guns in churches next. You're going to put guns in every shopping mall, every store in every mall. How about cars? You know, we're all sitting ducks in our cars, aren't we? You need to be able to shoot back if someone shoots at you. There is no situation anywhere where you cannot use this logic to say that, that's an unsafe place. Need more guns there, too. It's a typical example of somebody just wanting more and more. You can see the right that somebody might have to carry a gun wherever they go. Actually, no, let's start at the beginning. We say the Second Amendment, okay, it actually gives you the right to have a gun yourself. Fine. You have that now. Now you want to take that gun with you. Oh, you want to carry it around with you. You want to take it out of your house. Well, okay, but you can't take it everywhere. Well, now you want to take it everywhere. Boy, all right, well, I guess you can take it everywhere now. Take it to work. Take it to school. Take it to the store. What? You're back? What do you want now? You want better weapons. You want what? Machine guns? Semi-automatic? Rifles? What? Things that shoot hundreds of rounds? Well, I guess you can have that now in your home. Oh, you want to carry that with you, too? You want to bring that to school? I'm kind of curious, if we don't do anything, what will be next? Where will they go from here? Will we each have our own tanks? Will we each have our rocket launchers? Personal nukes? What? What's next on the NRA agenda that we all need to feel safe? I really can hardly wait to find out. Hopefully I won't. Hopefully this time... this time will be different. I honestly can say, if this time is not different, that's it. That's it. I don't think you'll ever get a more emotional moment than 20 kids being massacred in an elementary school. And if that doesn't motivate us to realize that we're sick and we need help and we need to change, there is absolutely nothing on this earth that will do that. And I kind of dread where the country will go after that. You can write to us, otw@2600.com, to express your ire. I imagine we'll get some letters this week. Yeah, this whole thing was a ploy to get more mail, because we don't get enough mail. We really don't. And I know I'm going to get angry people, but ask yourself why you're so angry. You know, I never hear from happy gun owners, only angry ones. Hear this story about an Alabama teen. Did I just say Alabama? No, Alabama teen. I don't know what accent I just lapsed into. Who was planning a school bomb attack. Eastern Alabama high school student faces an attempted assault charge after authorities say he planned to use homemade explosives in a terrorist attack on fellow students at his school. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on here. This guy is going to plant a bomb in a school and it's a terrorist act. Well, how come we don't say it's a terrorist act when someone goes into a school and mows down innocent kids? What's the difference? A bomb is terrorism and a gun isn't? I think we need to recalibrate how we define certain things. Staying with schools, the teachers in New York City are a bit upset that Mayor Bloomberg compared their union to the NRA. He said this. He said, it's typical of Congress. It's typical of unions. It's typical of companies, I guess, where a small group is really carrying the ball and the others aren't necessarily in agreement. The NRA is another place where the membership, if you do the polling, doesn't agree with the leadership. He said that on the radio, and he was referring to the United Federation of Teachers. They would like him to apologize for that, and he should. That's a stupid thing to say. I mean, but it does go to show that if you compare people to the NRA, it's being taken as an insult now, and that's got to be progress. How about this? New Year's fireworks. This happened in the state of Washington, where concealed carry permits are a dime a dozen. Police said a woman who believed New Year's partygoers were aiming fireworks at her home is suspected of shooting her neighbor, law-abiding citizen there. Yeah, somebody that would have been defended a couple of weeks ago. Shots were fired in the, well, it doesn't really matter what the address was, but it's in the state of Washington. The witness said the 54-year-old woman, who was angry about fireworks she believed were being aimed at her property, shot her 24-year-old neighbor in the leg. Neighbor Thomas Scott, I'm not sure if the same neighbor, said he wasn't surprised by the shooting. I hope it wasn't the same neighbor. If you get shot in the leg, you better be surprised. She's been nothing but trouble since she's been out here. It's like she's got something wrong with her mind. Everybody's against her. Everybody's out to get her. I think he was being sarcastic when he said that, but she got her gun out, went to fire a warning shot, but happened to hit the guy directly in the leg, according to another witness. But that's how people settle differences in many instances. There was another the shooting in a bar in Washington State, I think right in Seattle, actually. We read about this all the time. Supposedly there are all these cases that no one ever hears about of guns being used to save people, but send those stories in, please. I'd like to know about them. But I read too many stories of people who use them when they get angry. And that is a natural thing to do. When you get angry, you use what is nearby. And you can fly off the handle. It's a normal human reaction. What's not normal is to have the ability to kill be that simple. All right, we are out of time. I'm sure I've talked long enough about this, but felt good to get it off my chest. Plus, didn't have the England show ready in time, so I had to come up with something, and, well, this seemed apropos. If you have not contacted your elected officials about this issue, you're part of the problem, because they're going to assume you don't exist. Go online. Find the phone number. Find the email address. That's better if you call, though. It's better if you call. Find the phone number of your local elected representative in the House of Representatives, in the Senate, and statewide too, countywide, call them. Let them know that you're concerned. And that does make a difference. And yeah, I think in a month from now, we'll have an idea as to where this is going to go. It's history, history in the making. And well, that's kind of what we do here. We follow history. But right now, we're going to be followed by Finn, who's about to step in here. We'll see you next week, Emmanuel, for Off the Wall. Again, OTW at 2600.com. Have a good night.